Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob Brinton here as well, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Rob, let me ask you this question very quickly. We don't have to take too much time. It is just on my heart because we just got an email. Now, I don't think we've ever had one of these at work. And this seems like something that's very popular at other people's jobs. Is there any chance that the Halloween potluck goes off well at work? So right now, to let you guys in on it, this is what we're doing at our job. There are three different groups you can sign up for. You could sign up for cold foods, you could sign up for hot foods, or you could sign up for sweets. Now, the sweets is full, completely full. Everybody has already signed up to bring the sweets because how hard is that? Bring a bag of popcorn, bring some cookies, bring some candy apples, whatever you want to do. Everybody is signed up to bring something sweet. No one has signed up to bring any hot food, and one person has signed up to bring sandwiches. Is there any chance that this is a successful potluck?
It really depends on your term for success. I think there's going to be plenty of sweets, and people love sweets. And there's going to be some appetizers, and people enjoy appetizers. I don't think I would consider what's going to happen here a full meal, but I think there'll be food available, which isn't that the goal of a potluck? So in that regard, success.
You say food available. I don't know if just having food available is the goal for me. You know where they got food available? Chick-fil-A.
I mean,
it's right around the corner.
On a letter grade, it won't fail, but I don't know it's getting an A.
Okay.
It's a C's and D's get degrees type of energy.
What are you bringing? You bringing anything to the work potluck?
Absolutely not.
Okay. See, that's what I mean. Somebody's got to be willing to contribute to the potluck. Somebody's got to be willing to contribute. Honestly, I don't like anything that will make me look at the people I work with a little bit differently. You know, everybody just stay in their own lane. I try to come to work. I try to keep my head down. I try to do what I'm supposed to do. I don't try to cause any problems, and I try to go home. I try to make sure that Rob and I are always good and taken care of, and I don't try to bother anybody else. But I don't want to now look at Cindy from downstairs. Cindy made the chili. She really wants me to try the chili. The chili's terrible. And now I got to look at Cindy a little bit differently. I didn't want to sign up for this activity.
I will say that's a very glass half empty view. What if Sally from downstairs has food and you're like, all right, I guess I'll try it. And you're like, yo, this is incredible. Doesn't it work as a positive to see that person differently?
She seen anybody? That would be my question. I'm serious. Hey, she seeing anybody? Cindy, I see you ain't got a ring on your hand here. You available? Hey, can you make some of these little pigs in a blanket for me? Somebody said Nancy in accounting makes a mean pot sticker. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You know what? I will sign up. I'll do napkins.
Okay. All right. You're bringing the paper.
You're welcome,
plates.
Odyssey.
Okay. All right. No, there's nothing wrong with that. I was curious. I just wanted to throw that out there. All right. We have a lot to get into in the 5 o'clock hour. Again, I appreciate you guys listening. Why don't we do this? Rob, why don't you hit the button? Let's shout out Baker University, friends of the show, great friends of the show, and then we'll argue about I want a running back and you want them to go get a defensive lineman.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Carrington, as you mentioned, the hits are brought to you by Baker University. Make your next era orange at Baker University, the first university in Kansas, and ranked number one in return on investment among private universities in Kansas. Baker University, forever in our orange era.
Sometimes I would say that the text line gaslights me a little bit. And this is what I mean. We talk about how much we want to give Patrick Mahomes support and how it's so important that the Chiefs have this generational franchise quarterback and they should be interested in doing everything they can to support Patrick Mahomes. But anytime I suggest, hey, well, maybe they can do that by just running the football more effectively. It's like, oh, I get met with such opposition. Now, I'm not trying to belittle the win that they just had in any capacity. It's as dominant of a home win that you could possibly have. But I am now ready to move on and look forward. The Chiefs are maybe the best team, and they beat one of the five worst teams in the National Football League, and they beat them to a pulp. I'm ready to move on. We are exactly 2 weeks away from the NFL trade deadline. 2 weeks away. And there is a report right now that the Chiefs are favoring making a trade on the defensive line more than they are when it comes to running back. Now, I'm only going to give you one stat. Between Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, and Breshard Smith, the Chiefs are currently averaging 3.8 yards per carry. Now, I don't think that that's very good. And as the schedule is about to ramp up again, and we just mentioned the stretch, they play Buffalo, Denver, and Indianapolis in a 3-week stretch. I want the Chiefs to be fully prepared for those games. You only have a limited amount of resources. I don't think the Chiefs are going out there and spending a second-round pick on anybody, nor do I think that they should. I think the Chiefs are probably in the same ballpark that they were last year. Whether it's what they traded to go get DeAndre Hopkins or what they traded to go get Joshua Uche, somewhere between a fourth and a sixth-round pick to go acquire somebody. Now, we've done this before. What are you getting for a sixth-round pick at D-line? I'm assuming somebody that's not really going to help. That's what I'm going to guess. Now, if you're telling me that they can go get Calais Campbell, 39 years old, he signed a one-year, $5 million deal. Now, the Arizona Cardinals are, shockingly enough, the Arizona Cardinals, and now he could potentially be available, I'd be interested. I would ask the question, why did you not think about this in the very, very beginning of the season when he was a free agent? You could have got him for next to nothing. Like some of these things, I think we can be a little bit critical of the Chiefs on. Why didn't you plan ahead when it comes to some of these things? Like you could have always went out there and got the veteran rotational defensive lineman that you wanted. So I don't like, Rob, when you say, well, let's go get a Mike Pinnell type. Mike Pinnell was on the roster. We all thought he was going to make the team. If you and I made a 53-man roster, Mike Pinnell would have been on the team. Now we want the Chiefs to go trade for Mike Pinnell? That doesn't seem like a good use of their funds. You should have just kept him on the roster from the very, very beginning. Now, I understand that now you lost Norman Lott, and now you're trying to figure out what you're going to do. But some of this is, what about Ashton Gelati? A guy you spent a decent draft pick on and him developing over the second half of the season and being a player that you think can help. I think there's two areas that the Chiefs could potentially make a trade. I don't really see anywhere else. I think the Chiefs are pretty set for the most part. I also think the Chiefs are going to make some kind of move. I think they're going to make a move on one of these two spots. I think they either make a move on the defensive line or they make a move at running back. I don't want them to think that they're good at running back because none of the numbers would suggest that they're good at running back. The numbers would suggest that they have the exact same problem at running back that they have had this entire season that they haven't really upgraded on. Maybe you think the plan is giving Breshad Smith more carries. Maybe that might be the play in the second half of the season. But if I got to stand alone on this, I will stand alone on this. They're averaging 3.8 yards per carry, and we are at the middle point of the season, and Patrick Mahomes is still their leading rusher. He is their most explosive running back in their offense. That's not the best thing for their offense. Their offense works, but the best thing is not for Patrick Mahomes to be where big plays are generated from the running game. So I will continue to maintain until we can't advocate for it anymore. I want the Chiefs to go add a running back. It sounds like you're on the other side.
First off, despite my hate of running back, if they went and add a running back and it was a cheap addition, I'm not talking about, some of the text line says Alvin Kamara. I'm not talking about Alvin Kamara. If they make a cheap addition, I would be fine with that at running back. I just feel like the Chiefs are not in the deadline for the Chiefs is not going to feature like 2, 3, 4, 5 moves. They're not wheeling and dealing in 2 weeks. So with that knowledge, I think they're probably going to make a single move. I would much rather that be on the D-line. Now, you're right. We can have a separate Mike Pinnell conversation because I think it was obvious then and it's obvious now. They made a mistake on Mike Pinnell. They made a mistake letting him walk. They made a mistake bringing in Derek Nnadi. That's just a miss. Like, it happens.
And really quickly, I'm sorry to cut you off. I just want to add a little bit more context. I would maybe feel a little bit different about this defensive line conversation if the ideas being thrown out there were not, hey, let's trade for players that the Chiefs were willing to let walk away. Because I've only heard two names thrown out there. I've heard Mike Pinnell, who was on the team in August, and they let go, where any team in the league could have claimed Mike Pinnell, and he instantly got picked up. And the other one is Colin Saunders. I haven't heard a guy that you think can go get after the quarterback. If we were talking about them going to get Calais Campbell, I might have a very different conversation. But we all know the Chiefs. The Chiefs go with familiar. That's what they go with. They go with familiar. They go with what they know. So they are bringing back their version of Mecole Hardman. They're bringing back their Juju Smith-Schuster. They're bringing back their Mike Pinnell. If they make a move, they're going to go get a move for somebody that they really wanted in free agency and they missed on, like they did with DeAndre Hopkins, or a guy who was on the team that they were happy to let go play for somebody else.
First off, I agree that no one loves to add players to another system more than the Chiefs. If you are anywhere near the system, oh, they love it. But I am a proponent of picking up a body at defensive line because I just think they're short on bodies. But I don't know I have a name, but I am a proponent of adding pass rush. It is not that long ago that the Chiefs in a 2-minute drill drive against the Jags got beat because they didn't have enough pass rush. Trevor Lawrence looked the best we've ever seen because of a lack of pass rush. Early in the game against the Lions, first couple drives, the Chiefs' pass rush was lacking. We saw it when they struggled early in the season. Their pass rush was lacking. Now, it's gotten a little bit better, but that's a testament to Spags and the creativity and the blitz packages. When they rush with four, they're not good enough. So I would be a proponent of adding a Melvin Ingram type, which the Chiefs have done in the past, a Joshua Uche type, which the Chiefs have done in the past. I think a point that you and Briscoe, check the podcast page for that interview, made about how, hey, historically, when adding on the D-line, Spags doesn't really play those guys, is totally fair. But if it's January and the Chiefs are playing the Colts, the Bills, doesn't matter the who, and it's a third and long and they aren't dialing up a blitz, I'm afraid whoever back there at quarterback is going to have time to pick apart the Chiefs' defense. Because right now, Karloftis, Aminihu, Dana, Jones falls into this category. Whoever's next to Jones nowadays, Tillery, Nnadi, whomever, is not doing enough to get to the passer. So if they're going to trade one player, if they're going to give up a fourth, they're going to give up a sixth, and they're going to try to get one player to change the team, I'm a proponent of changing the defense. I also think for the running back point, A, I hate running backs. B, they've already thrown numbers at that. Does throwing a fifth running back into the fold make them generationally better? Probably not. It just means they have another body in the room. So I am a proponent of adding a body to a place where I think it can make more of an impact. Give me a defensive end or pass rusher at the deadline.
Text line 913-586-7965. There is a report right now that suggests that the Chiefs are more interested in defensive line than they are at running back. If you would like for the Chiefs to go out and make a move, would you like for them to make a move up front or on the offensive side of the ball? A lot of people are saying throw a name out there that you would like for the Chiefs to go get. How about Rico Dowdle? Right now, Carolina has two running backs. They have Hubbard, and they also have Rico Dowdle. I think Dowdle is their backup running back. He's on a one-year, $3 million deal. I think Dowdle will be a very nice addition to what they're doing right now offensively, that I'm also assuming you don't have to spend a whole lot of money to go get him in free agency. And every argument you can make about Dowdle, that he was available in free agency, I can make that exact same argument about any defensive lineman that we think they are potentially going to add. They had a chance to have Mike Pinnell. They didn't want to add him. They had a chance to have Calais Campbell on the team. They didn't want to add him on the team. Anybody that they are going to add, I'm assuming, is going to be an expiring contract kind of player. I don't think they're picking up multiple years. Unless it's kind of like what happened with Kadarius Toney. Failed player on his first team, still on his rookie contract. He's got a couple of years left. Maybe you overspend a little bit. It's very safe to say they overspent on Kadarius Toney, but you're willing to take a chance because of the amount of contract that's left. But if I'm guessing, I think they do what they did with DeAndre Hopkins. I think they trade for a veteran player whose contract expires at the end of the season. The other team is either willing to eat a lot of bit of money, or he's not really going to make a lot of bit of money, and you'll give him a mid-round draft pick and see if he can help you.
I agree with you. It's going to be expiring contract guy. I agree with that. I'd much rather take a shot at Will McDonald. He's a former, I think, Iowa State player. I don't have his contract for me.
I can pull it up for you.
He's on the Jets. The Jets are open for business.
That's first, 100%.
100%. I think the Dowdle idea is good. I'm not certain the Panthers are as open for business as I know the Jets are. I think the Dolphins are probably open for business. I don't know their pass rushers off the top of my head, but I assume they have one. Will McDonald is the name I would target from the Chiefs for an edge-rushing guy who's, I believe, on the last year of his rookie deal. Maybe you have to give him a contract at the end. Maybe it's just an expiring deal. But
I
got
to pull it up right here if you want me to.
Go ahead. Tell me, what's his deal?
So he was a first-round pick back in 2023, so he actually has a fifth-year option that you could decide at the end of this year if you want to pick
it up. Kind of Kadarius Toney-ish, okay.
Yeah, so he has this year, next year, and then the club option. So it could either be a one-year deal, depending on how you want to play it, or you could pick it up and then it becomes a two-year deal. Now, it's going to be money attached to that second part of his deal because he's a first-round player, but that's where it is. He was a first-round pick. He was the 15th overall pick back in 2023.
And I'm pulling up his stats, and I'm not saying Will McDonald is some earth-shattering, can you believe they added Jason Taylor in his prime type, but he's a year removed from a 10-sack season. Now, maybe it takes a little more premium pick. Maybe you're not getting him for a sixth. Maybe you have to give up a fourth or a third, or you have to get creative somehow. But that's a name I would be way more interested in than Breece Hall, way more interested in than Alvin Kamara. Even Rico Dowdle, who's a nice player, I would much rather pick up Will McDonald, and I know the Jets are open for business. That's what I would be doing if I'm Brett Veach. I'd be calling everybody about Will McDonald for the candidates for the Chiefs.
Rob, hit number two.
Number two.
All right, I want to play this audio for you guys. This is from Ty Masterson. Excuse me, I had Will McDonald on my mind. This is from Ty Masterson.
He's got a stadium update, future.
He's working on it. He is the president of the Senate in the state of Kansas. He spoke to our friends over at Fox 4 to give us an update. Here it goes.
The only site the Royals are considering is the one just south of where we are right now.
Masterson spoke to us for about 10 minutes in his hometown of Andover.
I am anticipating being presented with a proposal from the Department of Commerce and the team either at my late November or early December LCC meeting. That's what I'm expecting.
Masterson says he believes there are more Royals season ticket holders on the Kansas side than the Missouri side.
I do know a majority of the Royals fans are on our side of the fence, so it makes sense.
I'm not saying that this is true or not true, but this feels like one of those things that we've just let people say without ever really getting to see the numbers for ourselves. Again, I'm not saying that it's true or not true. I feel like we've let Fesco and people in Kansas just say this all the time, and it's not like the Royals have ever released anything where, like, I can see for myself if this is the case or not. That's just one thing that I've noticed. All right. I don't think the Royals are making an announcement around the holidays. I just don't think they're doing that. I would be very, very surprised if a week before Thanksgiving, the Royals are letting us know what their plans are for the stadium. And I think we know nobody releases very important news. That time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, nobody releases big news. I would be very surprised if that's the case. Now, this is just pure speculation on my part. I don't know anything about it. If I did, I promise you I would tell you guys. I'm going to guess that the Royals have an announcement next year at spring training. That's what I'm going to guess. Football season's over. You are back to thinking about the baseball team. There's no rush to make any announcement. I'm going to guess that that's when they do it. That just feels like a right time to make an announcement on this thing. I mean, we know they got to make one sooner rather than later. These stadiums will just pop up on the ground. This isn't Sim City on the PC. So you're going to have to give some kind of leeway and some kind of runtime to be able to do it. That's number one. And I always say this, maybe this is just my own Missouri thinking, and I can acknowledge maybe I'm biased in this thing. I don't think the Royals want to move to Kansas. I just don't think so. I think the Chiefs are very much open to moving to Kansas. I think the Chiefs are very, very open to it. I don't think that's what the Royals have in mind. I just don't think that's what they have in mind. I think that their owner bought it with the anticipation of putting in downtown Kansas City. And it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. At least their momentum is not pushing in that direction. So I think if you're not going to have your ideal, then why wouldn't you then fully explore, which it sounds like what he is doing, is putting it 10 minutes away from where you really want it, and then you can sell the backdrop of downtown Kansas City in left field if that's what you want to sell. I just don't think they want to move to 119th and all. I also just don't think that's a great location for where the Royal Stadium is. I don't think that's a great place to put the stadium. If you're telling me that they plan on putting it across the street from Town Center, and that just doesn't get me super excited about the future of the Kansas City Royal Stadium. I mean, I'm sure they'll make it work, and I'm sure it'll be beautiful, and we'll all look back and think that we spent a lot of time about nothing. That location that doesn't get me excited at all.
Let me ask you a question. I know we're kind of closing in on our break here. Because I agree with you. I don't think John Sherman bought the team and thought to himself, one day I'm going to either move him to Clay County or I'm going to move him to 119th and all. That's my vision of baseball in Kansas City. Two different suburbs. Do you think his vision for what the team could be has changed after the vote? Because I would bet this is before anything and everything with the politics, all the stuff. If I had asked you in October of 2021, that's around the time these conversations started happening, hey, do you think Kansas City would be better with a downtown baseball stadium? You would have said yes, and most of the text line would have said yes. We have fast forward 4 years, and I literally saw Jackson County in Kansas City, Missouri say no to that plan. Do you think his plans and his vision has possibly changed because of the vote? Because I was here, we were doing the show. I never heard about how John Sherman loved the Battery down in Atlanta until after the vote failed. And then all of a sudden it was like, man, you know what's great? The Battery. Boy, I love the Battery. Isn't the Battery the best? Which is a big pivot from downtown. Do you think his vision for his stadium changed after Casey Mose said, no, thank you?
I think that's a very fair point, but this is where I will always defend the people of Jackson County, and I will always defend the people on Missouri side. It wasn't a good plan. I feel like now we are blaming the people in Jackson County for not saying no or saying no to a plan that we all think was haphazard, that we all think was done on the fly. And I also think, given the fact that it has taken them almost 2 years to regroup from that plan, should tell me that they didn't have their ducks in a row from the very, very beginning. Right? Like, they didn't have their ducks in a row from the beginning. It's not like they had a real quick pivot. Hey, we got a plan A and a plan B. If this doesn't work, we're ready to go. You can't say they had that when it came to it. Now, I do believe that that was their original plan. They wanted the stadium to be in downtown Kansas City. I don't know why it wasn't the place that we always thought it was going to be. I don't know why that happened. I don't know why their plans at every single term seemed to be so rushed that it was before. So that's why I'm not mad at them for taking a lot of time when it comes to this. If you only get one more shot to present this to the public, take as much time as you need to have all the information that you have. But I will always maintain, if the Kansas deal is the best deal, why haven't either of the teams just agreed to it? If the terms are not changing, it seems to me that the Royals, I think a little bit more than the Chiefs, the Royals are willing to listen to everything that Missouri has to say before they finally agree, all right, we'll go. We use the analogies about college. I don't think that's the number. That's not their dream school. That's not their Kansas for you. That's their secondary school. That's their Washburn. Washburn, great university. So I'm sure some of you went there. I don't know if that was your first choice of where to go. That's where it sounds like we're dealing with, at least when it's here. Because if it was, I don't know why you didn't take that from the very, very beginning. You're telling me all their season ticket holders are over there. It's the best financial package. I don't think they're in love with it. Where I at least think this. I think the people of North Kansas City would be thrilled to have a professional team. I don't know if the people on 119th and all seem thrilled about it. They don't seem thrilled to me about it being over there. Where I do think they're thrilled in North Kansas City. I don't think that's a bad option for them. They have three options left. They have downtown Kansas City. They have North Kansas City or 119th and all. If you're telling me one gets them completely away from Missouri, completely away from their government, gives them more money, they don't have to, all of those things. Why didn't they take this deal a year ago? It's been there this entire time for them to take. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about Pro Football Focus, which feels like it is under attack. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Coming up later today, Rob, it's back. Turn this music off. I don't want to hear this anymore. It's back. We got Rockets, Thunder. Kevin Durant watches his old team hang a banner. And we got Warriors and Lakers. LeBron, he's out. But Luka, he's there. Steph, he's there on NBC. All right, man, that's enough. I just had to tell people what's going on today on NBC. Very excited about it. Do you plan on watching NBA on NBC tonight?
I'll probably have it on the background. You know, it's not like I'm locked in. I'll probably keep it on the background, though.
Let's talk about this. I don't pay for Pro Football Focus. We have never paid a guest from Pro Football Focus. We like him. I like Sam Munson. I remember when I first met Sam Munson, Nick was still here. So I've known Sam Munson for a very, very long time. I consider Sam Munson to be a personal friend. But I've always had this feeling about Pro Football Focus. Pro Football Focus, you can use any way that you want. If you feel a certain way about a player, you can usually find a stat or a number that can validate how you feel. That's how I feel about most of these advanced metrics. A lot of times when I'm on social media, and a lot of people I would consider to be smart NFL fans, we just start looking at charts. And these charts just have dots on them. And you start using all of these words and terms that I don't really understand and don't really make a lot of sense to me, but you took the time to make a fancy chart. Which confirms another thought that I have, and I see this on social media all the time. If you're willing to make a graphic about something, you can get people to believe anything that you want. half of the misinformation I see on the internet, somebody just knows how to use Canva and they have typed some nonsense on there and they can get the public to share it and believe it. That's how a lot of these advanced NFL metrics are. So Pro Football Focus has moved to the top of the list. Now, I think this started a couple of weeks ago. I think it actually started on Sunday Night Football. So the Chiefs were on there a couple of weeks ago playing the Lions, and underneath the player's name, they put their Pro Football Focus ranking. They had Mahomes at 13th. A lot of people were mad that Patrick Mahomes was at 13th. So they were already getting a little bit of smoke. Well, this past week, I guess I'll just let Nick tell you what happened.
Pro Football Focus's quarterback rating system said on Sunday, Geno Smith played a better game than Patrick Mahomes.
Needs to be tweeted.
They published that. They put that out to the world. They said from a passing perspective, on Sunday, Geno was the 12th best quarterback in the league with a 67 grade. And Patrick Mahomes was the 16th best on Sunday with a 62 grade. It is that single fact means the way you're doing it is broken. There is no way to massage it or work around to where if in a game, in that game, you spit out the answer that actually when you really look with a discerning eye, Geno threw the ball better than Patrick, it means your system's broken.
Sometimes we are all allowed to feel the exact same way. I'm not taking Nick's take because Nick's take is the only take that you could possibly have. You cannot tell me Geno Smith, who completed 62% of his passes, threw for 67 yards, had zero touchdowns and a 71 quarterback rating. You can't tell me that he played better than Patrick Mahomes, who completed 74% of his passes, threw for 286 yards, had three touchdowns, and had a 126 quarterback rating. You cannot convince me otherwise. And that's what they're trying to do with Pro Football Focus. That's what I feel like happens with a lot of these advanced numbers. In baseball, we do the exact same thing. A guy is hitting like 145, but we'll find some stat to show you that he's actually hitting the ball pretty well. He's just unlucky right now. What's an out? It reminds me of that one line in Major League 2. Remember that line where the player hits a home run? He's like, too high, too high. And he's like, what does that even mean? It's gone. I feel like that's what happens with these new analytics all the time. Maybe I'm just old school. I like numbers that I can touch. I like numbers that I can feel. I like numbers that I can understand. And a lot of these advanced metrics, no one really knows how they come up with what they come up with. It just sounds really good. It sounds new. It sounds serious. It looks really good on a chart. Does anybody know how Pro Football Focus comes up with their grades? But we all quote it. Oh, man, that guy, he's ranked number one on Pro Football Focus. No one knows how we come to these numbers. I know how you get completion percentage. It's easy. You have these many attempts. You complete this number of passes. I can add it up. I know how you get passing yards and touchdowns. Hell, I even understand how you come up with a quarterback rating. What's BAPIP? What does that even mean? What's WAR? How do we figure out what WAR means? That's what I mean. You can come up with any stat that you want to tell any story that you want. But if your algorithm comes up with the conclusion that Geno played better on Sunday than Patrick Mahomes in really any capacity, then you got to start over. You got to have an emergency work meeting. You got to bring everybody that works at Pro Football Focus into one room. You got to put them in there. I don't care if you got to get food, whatever you got to do. And you guys got to say, we are not leaving this room until we figure out a better way to evaluate the quarterback position. Because there's some things I trust Pro Football Focus in. I really do. Offensive line, defensive line, pass rush, pass block, pass protections. There are a lot of things that they do really well. But they obviously don't evaluate quarterback well if that's the determination that they have from Sunday's game.
Let me ask you this. Because in that, I think you're right about Pro Football Focus. But even in your little spiel there, you said you trust them on offensive line grades, but not the Patrick Mahomes grades.
I think they do some things well, for sure.
I think that is extrapolated out by a lot of people, because I think we very often move the goalposts on Pro Football Focus. Because when they say things like Mahomes is the 13th best quarterback in the league this year and Geno had a better passer grade, everyone goes up in arms. How can they do this? This is despicable, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward a week. Let's just say they have Jalen Moore as the best left tackle in the NFL since becoming the starter. The same people who are up in arms about the Patrick Mahomes rating and the Patrick Mahomes rankings are going to be the same people that turn around and tell me, well, Jalen Moore is the best left tackle in football per Pro Football Focus. I think we have a little bit of a moving target on how we use Pro Football Focus. Either A, as a football watching society, we should ignore it, and that's fine. I would disagree with that, but we can. Or B, we should take it for what it's worth. And if you're going to tell me, not you, but in general, someone says Jalen Moore's the best left tackle, go to his PFF numbers, you have to accept that the PFF numbers also say Patrick Mahomes is right in the middle of the pack. I feel like we pick and choose which stats we use from PFF.
I don't disagree with you. And I think here, someone says, screw the metrics. We got to use the eye test and wins and losses. That matters most. I do think in some of these, you just got to use your instincts. All of us watch sports. All of us follow it. All of us have played sports in some capacity. That I'm not saying that makes you an expert when it comes to things, but I use this analogy all the time. I remember I went to a wine tasting, and I remember the guy told me, he said, everybody is a wine connoisseur. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, you know what tastes good, right? Well, if you like it, then it's good wine. That's all that really matters. We all watch basketball. We know who can play and who can't. We all watch football. We know what quarterbacks are good and which quarterbacks are not good. Right? We know this. So I just feel like in some of these things, you just got to trust your own instincts and how you... And part of it is we're going to disagree. You like this player. I don't like this player. But if you're going to tell me that this is analytic data-based and this is the prohibitive... This is how we grade football players in the National Football League. Your grading system cannot have Geno ahead of Patrick Mahomes. Now he's doing for 67 yards. Not when his offense had 95 yards from scrimmage. You can't tell me that you can't be the best at it if that's what you do. So you got to start over. You got to start over. Maybe that's unfair when it comes to Pro Football Focus, and there's a lot of great people over there. But your system, it cannot work if that is the conclusion that you come to at the end of it. Coming up on the other side, the NBA is back. We'll get to it. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the show. The NBA is back today. We got a doubleheader on NBC. And the NBA season will get going. Earlier today, Rob pulled some of the best theme songs that we have in sports. Why don't we celebrate a couple of them? College basketball season right around the corner. Rob, you were telling me KU They have a basketball game on Friday?
They have an exhibition against... Missouri has an exhibition Friday, too, by the way. Missouri's exhibition can be heard right here on 96.5 The Fans. They take on K-State on Friday night.
K-State, they got a preseason All-American, that P.J. Haggerty kid from Memphis. Yeah.
Never blown up in their face to get a very expensive portal player.
Here you go. You never miss a shot to throw a little bit of shade towards the Wildcats way. I don't never make fun of K-State. You make fun of K-State pretty regularly. You might make fun of K-State more than I make fun of KU.
No chance that's correct. No
at
chance.
At least once a show, you throw shade at K-State's
way. You keep throwing softballs, and I keep hitting them out of the park. Come on.
Which,
now.
I mean, I get right now at this point, you guys got a little bit of a rivalry game coming up later. I mean, somebody asked me, who do I want to win? I really don't know who I want to win on Saturday because there's two... Like, there's two forces here at play. You guys have spent so much money on this new stadium. And this new stadium makes you guys so happy. I think you guys are a better football team this year than K-State. You've certainly been more consistent this year. So, like, one side wants you guys to win, celebrating your new stadium, and for you to be happy. But if they lose this game... The level of disappointment that you will feel walking out of that stadium that K-State beat you again. Oh, my goodness. Just to see your face, to see the meltdown on social media. It really will warm my heart. I'm genuinely confused. I don't know which way that I want to go. I don't know who I'm rooting for. Am I rooting for you and your happiness and KU? Because you guys deserve some happiness, too, when you're with your football program, not the basketball program. You got enough happiness for a lifetime when it comes to the basketball program.
I was going to say, come on now, there's plenty to go around.
No, you got enough happiness for a lifetime in basketball. You actually need to be humbled more and more when it comes to basketball. But, yeah, one side of me wants you guys to finally beat them, you know? K-State, they walk around with their chest all out because they've been kicking y'all around for 15, 16 years. One part of me wants you guys to finally beat them. The other side is just thinking about how good it's going to be if you guys lose. Like walking out of the stadium with that loss. Rob, you've had season tickets for 7, 8 years. You've never seen KU beat K-State.
Not once.
Not one time.
I mean, I've seen it like as a kid, but I was not a season ticket holder when
it
happened.
As a kid. That was a long time ago. It was 2008 the last time. They beat them.
We hadn't had the election in 08. I'm not even, that's not even hyperbole. That is correct.
That's what I'm saying, man. I don't know who but I'm like, rooting
for. I didn't
for.
Take any shot at the K-State football program. I got nothing to say about them this week. We're just minding our business. Basketball program, media days tomorrow. I might take a few shots.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure you guys will. Let's just keep playing theme music before we got to go. This might honestly be the best theme music because it's really the whole packaging of things. It's, well, the old one, like the new Monday Night Football, it don't really hit the same the way that it used to.
No offense to SVP, but it doesn't.
Yeah, it's not the same. It's the All My Rowdy Friends Are Here on Monday Night. It's that iconic theme song leading into this music that is just iconic. Now, them doing that song with Chris Stapleton and Snoop Dogg, it ain't the same. I don't know what to tell you. It ain't the same.
When did the ESPN Snoop Dogg thing happen?
I don't know. We don't got to cancel everybody, man.
I'm not trying to cancel Snoop Dogg.
No, I'm just saying, who was the guy before? What did he do? Why did we cancel him?
I forget why we canceled him. I'm like,
why did we cancel him? Text line, you guys know. Why did we cancel Hank?
Snoop Dogg's a little overexposed. He doesn't even do an every network sports
adjacent.
Hold on,
let's Google. Why did we cancel Hank Williams? Is Hank still with us?
I thought Hank may have been a racist. That sound right?
No comment.
You're Googling it.
I know. I was going to make a joke, and then I'm learning to be better in these situations. Just no thanks. I don't know why we canceled him. I don't really have a good answer for why we canceled Hank Williams Jr. I don't know. Maybe the text line can tell me. Someone said, how whack is the Thursday Night Football one? There's a Thursday Night Football one? I've never heard it before. There's an intro for Thursday Night Football? What's it sound like? Who made it? I've never heard this before. I don't think I've ever watched the kickoff of Thursday Night Football. Honestly, I don't think I've ever watched it. I'm trying to figure out why he got what happened to him. Oh, hold on. I'm starting to see it. Hold on. I'm starting to maybe understand why they were like, hey, this can't work. This can't work. I'm starting to do some reading a little bit more on why they decided to go opposite directions when it came to him. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.